Our Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we thank you for the privilege to fellowship on the written word and to fellowship with one another. And our Father, we ask that as we look into your word now, every eye is open to see, every ear is open to hear. We believe and receive the fullness of light, revelation, and insight in all of this house. We thank you, Father. We give you praise, for we know it's done. For in Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen. You can take your seat. Hallelujah. Okay, so this afternoon, I want to look around God's Word in a particular area. Now, I've titled it, A Cure for All Ills. Okay? A Cure for All Ills. ILLS. Now, I remember being a young boy growing in Ibadan. You would find some hawkers moving around the street, hawking locally made insecticides. Okay, and I remember back then there was this audio that used to play from their trolleys, you know, as they moved around the street, you know, saying stuff like, Opanyo, do you remember that? Opefo, right? Opatambulu, hallelujah. Okay, and basically what they're trying to say is this insecticide kills different kinds of insects. Okay, so it is multi-purpose. Do you follow that? Okay, now the Bible describes God's power this way. God's power is multi-purpose. Do you follow that? So it can get several things done. Genesis chapter 18, verse 13. Quickly, it says, and the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child since I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Underline that. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I'll return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Now here it is working in a barren woman, so she can conceive. Okay, Jeremiah 32, verse 27 says, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Underline that. Here, God's power is delivering Israel from bondage. Luke 1, chapter 37 says, for with God nothing will be impossible. Now here it is causing an aged woman and a virgin to conceive. Jesus says, Luke 18 verse 27, but he said, the things which are impossible with man are possible with God. Now here it is saving man. So God's power is capable of doing multiple things all at once. Okay, he doesn't need different powers to do different things. The same power can get many things done. The same power that made the universe can heal a sick body. Okay, the same power that provides can also preserve life. Now, God exerts his power primarily in four areas. Number one, nature. Number two, inanimate things. Number three, human activities. And number four, salvation. Now let's see instances where God exerted his power in nature. So you can put a subheading here, God's power in nature. Now number one here, God created the entire universe by just speaking. How about that? Genesis 1 and 2, Hebrews 11 and 3. Number two, Abraham and Sarah conceived at an old age. Genesis 21, 1 and 7. Number three, the parting of the Red Sea. Exodus chapter 14, verse 16, 21 to 31. Number 4, bitter waters are made sweet. Exodus chapter 15, 23 to 25. Number 5, water comes out of the rock at Rephidim. Exodus chapter 17, 5 to 7. Number 6, pillars of clouds and fire, the Shekinah. Exodus 13, 21 to 22. Exodus 19, verse 19. Exodus 33, 9 to 10, Exodus 40, 34 to 36, 1 Kings 8, 10, 2 Chronicles 5, verse 14, Ezekiel 43, verse 4. Number 7, water comes from a rock at Meribah. Numbers 20, 7 to 11. Number 8, Balaam's donkey speaks. Numbers 22, 21 to 35. Number 9, the parting of the Jordan. Joshua 3, 14 to 17. Number 10, the sun not setting. Joshua 10:12-14. Number 11, Samson's strength. Judges 14-16. You find that there. Number 12, water provided for Samson. Judges 15:18-19. Number 13, ravens provide Elijah with food during the drought. 1 Kings 17:6. Number 14, the widow of Zarephath's son is raised from the dead. 1 Kings 17:17-24. Number 15, rain falls from heaven by Elijah's prayer. 1 Kings 18:41-45. Number 16, Elijah outruns Ahab's chariot. 1 Kings 18:46. Number 17, the parting of the Jordan by Elijah. 2 Kings 2:7-8. Number 18, the parting of the Jordan by Elisha. 2 Kings 2:14. Number 19, the healing of the water in Jericho. 2 Kings 2:19-22. Number 20, the supply of water to the armies in Moab. 2 Kings 3:14-20. Number 21, the resurrection of the Shunammite woman's son. 2 Kings 4:32-37. Number 22, Naaman is healed. 2 Kings 5:10-14. Number 23, a dead man is raised when he touches Elisha's bones. 2 Kings 13:21. Number 24, King Ezekiah is healed. 2 Kings 20:7. Number 25, Jonah and the great fish. Jonah 1:17-2:10. Number 26, Daniel is delivered from lions. Daniel 6:16-23. Number 27, the virgin birth. Luke 1:35. Number 28, Elizabeth asked John at an old age. Luke 1:36. Number 29, the star leads the wise men to Jesus. Matthew 2:1-2, 9-11. Number 30, two blind men are healed. Matthew 9:27-31. Number 31, Peter catches a fish with money in its mouth. Matthew 17:24-27. Number 32, a deaf and dumb man is healed. Mark 7:31-37. Number 33, the large catch of fish. Luke 7:4-7. Number 34, the resurrection of the widow's son at Nain, N-A-I-N, Luke 7:11-17. Number 35, healing Marcus's hair. Luke 22:50-51. Number 36, the resurrection of Lazarus. John 11:38-44. Number 37, another large catch of fish. John 21:1-14. Number 38, Jesus calms the storm. Matthew 8:23-27. Mark 4:35-41. Luke 8:22-25. Number 39, Jesus walks on the sea. Matthew 14:25-27. Mark 6:48-50. John 6:18-21. Okay, now next subheading here, God's power on inanimate things. Okay, now number one, the ark held Noah and the others for 150 days. Genesis 6-8. Number two, the burning bush not burned. Exodus 3:3. Number three, Aaron's rod turned to a serpent. Exodus 7:10-12. Number four, manna is provided. Exodus 16:14-35. Number five, Aaron's rod burns. Numbers chapter 17:8. Number six, the bronze serpent heals the stricken. Numbers 21:4-9. Number seven, Gideon's fleece. Judges 6:37-40. Number eight, Dagon falls before God. 1 Samuel 5:1-5. Number 9, the widow's provisions do not run out. The widow of Zarephath. 1 Kings 17:14-16. Number 10, fire from heaven burns Elijah's sacrifice. 1 Kings 18:30-39. Number 11, Elijah is transported by a chariot of fire. 2 Kings 2:11. Number 12, the widow's oil. 2 Kings 4:1-7. Number 13, Elisha purifies the pot of stew. 2 Kings 4:38-41. Number 14, 20 loaves feed 100 men, 2 Kings 4:42-44. Number 15, the flooding of the iron axe head, 2 Kings 6:5-7. Number 16, the shadow returns 10 degrees, 2 Kings 20:9-11. Number 17, the Hebrew boys saved from the flames, Daniel 3:19-27. Number 18, the writing on the wall, Daniel 5:5. Number 19, water turned to wine, John 2:1-11. Number 20, Jesus feeds about 5,000 men with only 5 loaves and 2 fish, Matthew 14:15-21, Mark 6:30-44, Luke 9:10-17, John 6:1-14. Number 21, feeding 4,000 men with 7 loaves and a few fish, Matthew 15:32-38, Mark 8:1-9. Now next subheading here, God's power in men's activities. Number 1, Joseph's life is preserved in the pit, Genesis 37:23-24. Number 2, the Jews are rescued from Egypt, Exodus chapter 12:31-42. Number 3, the Moabite see water as blood, 2 Kings 3:21-24. Number 4, the plans of the king of Syria against Israel are revealed, 2 Kings 6:8-12. Number 5, Israel finds favor with Cyprus, Ezra 1:1-5. Number 6, the Jews' life are spared in Esther, Esther 5:9. Number 7, Jesus passes in between the angry mob on sin, Luke 4:28-30. Number 8, exorcisms by Jesus, Matthew 8:28-32, Matthew 12:22, Luke 4:33-37, Luke 11:14, Mark 1:23-26. Number 9, the transfiguration of Jesus, Matthew 17:1-8. Now next subheading, God's power in salvation. Now number 1, God's power raised Jesus from the dead, John 21:10. Okay, Ephesians 1:19-20. Number 2, God's power glorified Jesus, Acts 2:33-36. Ephesians 1:20-22. Philippians 2:9. God's power, number 3, raised us together with Christ, Ephesians 2:1-6. Number 4, God's power justified us, Romans 5:1. 1 Corinthians 6:11. Number 5, God's power sanctified us, Hebrews 10:10, verse 14, CF 1 Corinthians 6:11. Number 6, it works in us through same power, Philippians 2:12-13. Number 7, it keeps us safe forever through the same power, 1 Peter 1:5, CF Hebrews 5:9-7:25. Number 8, it empowers his people for service through that power, Ephesians 4:7-11, CF Romans 1:5, Romans 12:3-8. So his power can be described as multi-dimensional, God's power, or multi-purpose. Okay, so it's doing one thing, and before you know it, it's also doing another thing. Now keep that information somewhere, it will be useful shortly. Now when we talk about healing, the Bible recognizes both the physical and the spiritual cure to illnesses. There were doctors in Bible days, Jeremiah 8:22. It says, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Underline that, is there no physician there? Why then is there no recovery for the health of the daughter of my people? The physicians were experts in curing sicknesses. They were recognized by the people. Now the Bible is not against medical science, I've taught you that. For example, in Genesis chapter 30, Rachel requested some of Leah's mandrakes. Verse 14 of that same chapter, Genesis 30, it says, now Reuben went in the days of the wheat harvest and found mandrakes in the field and brought them to his mother Leah. Then Rachel said to Leah, please give me some of your son's mandrakes. Now the mandrake was used in Bible days to treat barrenness. Now Rachel requested this because she could not conceive. Verse 1 reveals this fact. It says, now when Rachel saw that she bore Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister on the line. She bore Jacob no children and said to Jacob, "Give me children or else I die." Numbers 11 mentions garlic as one of the condiments readily available in Egypt. Verse 5 of that same chapter, Numbers 11, it says, "Remember the fish which we ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic." Underline that, and the garlic. Now, apart from being edible, all these herbs were used to treat bodily conditions, especially garlic, which we now know by modern science helps reduce blood pressure and manage heart disease. 2 Kings 20 also records how King Hezekiah was healed by figs. 2 Kings 20 verse 7. Then Isaiah said, "Take a lump of figs." So they took and laid it on the bowl, underline that, laid it on the bowl, and he recovered. Matthew records how the Magi gave Jesus frankincense and myrrh. Matthew 2 verse 11. "And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary's mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense," underline that, "frankincense, and myrrh," underline that, "and myrrh." Frankincense and myrrh were used to treat common conditions in Bible days. Okay, so they were medicinal. In the parable of the Good Samaritan, oil and wine were used as first aid. Luke 10 verse 34. It says, "So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine," underline that, "and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him." Paul advises Timothy to use some medicine for his stomach. 1 Timothy 5 verse 23. It says, "No longer drink holy water, but use a little wine for your stomach's sake and your frequent infirmities." So the scriptures are not anti-medicine. Do you follow that? Okay, but there is an issue with medicine. It doesn't always work. Okay, you can be 100% sure that a drug or medical procedure would work. You see that the story of the woman with the flow of blood shows this. Mark chapter 5 verse 25. Mark 5 verse 25. It says, "Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians." Underline that. Suffered many things from many physicians. Now those are doctors. Okay, she has spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. Underline that. Rather grew worse. Some sicknesses are incurable by science. Okay, the medical professionals will say to you, "You know, this one is beyond us." So there is a limit to man's power, his skill, his know-how. Okay, and that is why Psalm 108 verse 12 says, "Give us help from trouble, for the help of man is useless." You see that? For the help of man is useless. The word useless translates the Hebrew shav, S-H-A-V. It means vain, empty. So man's power is highly limited. Okay, man can do a lot with his knowledge of medicine and science. Okay, but he can do everything with his knowledge of medicine and science. Now this is where God's power comes in. Hallelujah. God's power comes in when man comes to the end of himself. Okay, his physical strength, knowledge, and expertise can no longer help. Then a miracle is required. In literature, this is known as Deus Ex Machina, okay, where the gods intervene in the affairs of man. So a miracle is a supernatural intervention of God, which bypasses nature and its laws. Nature says HIV cannot be cured. That's a law. Amen. Now the power of God can override that law. Hallelujah. Nature says that a damaged eye can never see again. The power of God can override that law. Okay, science can't cure all diseases. But remember what we've seen about God's power, right? It can do several things at once. Do you follow that? So God's power is not limited to one sickness alone. It can work on every type of sickness. Okay, while it is healing headaches, it is also curing cancer. Hallelujah. As it is healing malaria, it is also healing blindness. Okay, so we can say it this way, that God's power is our multi-purpose drug. Do you follow that? It's our cure for all ills. Hallelujah. One drug that cures every type of illness. Okay, so Opayo, do you follow that? Opefo, Opatambolo, do you get it? Now let's see that in the scriptures. See Luke 7 verse 21 quickly. Luke 7 verse 21. It says, and that very hour he cured many, underline that, many of infirmities, afflictions, and evil spirits, and to many blind, underline many, he gave sight. Now notice what the power of God does here. It heals many infirmities. Nosan in the Greek, N-O-S-O-N, the O after X accentuated, which means diseases, maladies, usually persistent and incurable ailment, and afflictions, mastigon, M-A-S-T-I-G-O-N, the O accentuated, which means plagues, which debilitate, make one weak. It comes from the word mastix, M-A-S-T-I-X, which literally refers to a scourge, a whip used in ancient times by the Romans to torture. So this emphasizes the painful nature of the illness. Okay, so we find here same power doing several things. Okay, the word many translates the Greek polos, P-O-L-U-S. It is used to describe what is much in number. It describes quantity. Okay, numerous in quantity. So the power of God cures numerous diseases here at once. Okay, so different sicknesses, same power. Do you see that? Multi-purpose. A cure for all ills. Hallelujah. Okay, and this is common throughout the four Gospels. There were mass healings, okay, whereby several diseases were cured at the same time by God's power. Now let's see that. Luke 4:40 describes one such incident. Luke 4:40. It says, when the sun was setting, all those who had any were sick with various diseases. Underline that. Various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on them and healed them. Now I checked the word various in the Greek. Quite interesting word. Poikilos in the Greek. P-O-I-K-I-L-O-S. It literally means many colored. Okay, so you can read it this way. Any that were sick with diseases of different colors. You follow that? Different shades. Multicolored diseases. That is diversified, manifold, variegated diseases, disease of different sorts, diverse sorts, and God's power healed them all. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 4 records this happening at Galilee, verses 23 to 24, that same chapter. Matthew 4. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness. Underline that. Healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Underline that. All kinds of disease among the people. Then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people. Underline that. All sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments. Underline that. Various diseases and torments. And those who were demon-possessed. Epileptics. Underline that. Epileptics. And paralytics. Underline paralytics. And he healed them. Hallelujah. Underline that. He healed them. The power of God healed all kinds of diseases here. Okay, so same power doing different things. Matthew chapter 15 records identically. Verses 30 to 31 of that same chapter, Matthew 15. It says, then great multitudes came to him, having with them the lame, underline lame, blind, underline blind, mute, underline mute, maimed, underline maimed, and many others, underline that, many others. And they laid them at Jesus' feet, and he healed them, underline that, he healed them. So the multitude marveled when they saw the mute speaking, underline that, the mute speaking, the maimed made whole, underline that, the lame walking, underline that, and the blind seeing, underline that, and they glorify the God of Israel. The power of God heals disabled body parts here. The eyes, the legs, mouth, bones, and many others are healed at once. Matthew chapter 21 verse 14 records a similar healing at the temple. Verse 14 of that same chapter, Matthew 21, it says, then the blind, underline that, the blind, and the lame, underline that, the lame, came to him in the temple, and he healed them. Now here, God's power heals both blindness and lameness at the same time. Do you see that? Opayo, amen. Opefo, just have that as an hermeneutic. Do you follow that? He's doing several things at the same time. Similarly, Mark 3 verse 10 says, okay, for he healed many, underline that, many, so that as many as had afflictions pressed about him to touch him. So we find the words many and all used to describe healing by God's power. There is no limit to what that power can do. No sickness it cannot cure. Okay, so it heals different colors, hallelujah, of diseases, different shades. You may also see Matthew 8 verse 16, Matthew 9:35, Matthew 12:15, Matthew 14:34-36, Luke 9:11, John 20:30, John 21 verse 25. Now in the Old Testament, you see this power in action. It cured barrenness in the household of Abimelech. Genesis 20 verse 17. It says, so Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech. Underline that. God healed Abimelech, his wife, and his female servants. Then they bore children. Underline that. Then they bore children. So it heals barrenness here. In the household of Abraham. Genesis 21 verse 1. It says, and the Lord visited Sarah. Underline that. As he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son. Underline that, bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac, in the household of Elkanah. 1 Samuel 1:19-20 says, then they rose early in the morning and worshipped before the Lord and returned and came to their house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew Anna his wife, that's the mother of Samuel, and the Lord remembered her. Underline that, the Lord remembered her. So it came to pass in the process of time that Anna conceived and bore a son. Underline that. Anna conceived and bore a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I've asked for him from the Lord. In the household of the Shunammite woman, 2 Kings 4 verse 15. It says, so he said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the doorway. And he said, about this time next year, you shall embrace a son. And she said, no, my Lord, man of God, do not lie to your maid servant. But the woman conceived, underline that, the woman conceived and bore a son, underline that, bore a son, when the appointed time had come, of which Elisha told her. Now it healed a withered hand. 1 Kings 13 verse 6. Okay, it says, then the king answered and said to the man of God, please entreat the favor of the Lord your God and pray for me that my hand may be restored to me. So the man of God entreated the Lord and the king's hand was restored to him. Underline that, the king's hand was restored to him and became as before. It healed Naaman's leprosy. 2 Kings 5 verse 14. 2 Kings 5 verse 14. So he went down and dipped seven times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored. Underline that. His flesh was restored, like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Underline that. He was clean. It healed Nebuchadnezzar's insanity. Daniel 4 verse 34. Mental illness. Daniel 4 verse 34. And at the end of the time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me. Underline that, my understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. In the four Gospels, several sick men were healed by God's power. Okay, God's power healed leprosy. Matthew 8:3. Remember different shades, right, of sicknesses? Matthew 8:3, it says, then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Underline that, his leprosy was cleansed. It healed paralysis. Matthew 8 verse 13, it says, then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that same hour. Now when you see paralysis, you might be tempted to say, oh, it only undoes serious diseases, right? God's power only undoes tough situations. But in the next verses, it healed fever also. How about that? Amen. Matthew 8:14-15. Now when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her. Underline that. The fever left her, and she arose and served them. Do you see that? It heals paralysis. It also heals fever. Hallelujah. It healed paralysis again in Matthew 9:6-7. But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, Then he said to the paralytic, Arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. And he arose and departed to his own house. It healed an hemorrhage. Matthew 9:20. And suddenly, a woman who had a flow but for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment, for she said to herself, If only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well. But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, Be of good cheer, daughter, your faith has made you well. And the woman was made well from that hour, underline that, from that to her. It healed blindness. Matthew 9:29. Then he touched their eyes, saying, According to your faith, let it be done to you. And their eyes were opened. Underline that. Their eyes were opened. Hallelujah. And Jesus sternly warned them, saying, See that no one knows it. It healed epilepsy. Matthew 17:18. Okay. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. Underline that. The child was cured from that very hour. It healed blindness again in Matthew 20:34. That same chapter, Matthew 20, it says, So Jesus had compassion and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight. Underline that, their eyes received sight, and they followed him. It healed a withered hand. Mark 3:5. And when he looked around them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their heart, he said to the man, Stretch out your hand, and he stretched it out, and his hand was restored. Underline that, his hand was restored as old as the other. It healed deafness and dumbness. Mark 7:32. Then they brought to him one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to put his hand on him. So he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers in his ears and spat and touched his tongue. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. It healed a spinal disease. God's power. A spinal disease. Luke 13:13. It says, And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight. Underline that. She was made straight and glorified God. Now this was a long-term condition. 18 years. You may see verse 11. It healed a fever again. In John 4:50, Jesus said to him, Go your way, your son lives. And the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went his way. And as he was going down, his servant met him and said to him, saying, Your son lives. Then he inquired of them the hour when he got better. And they said to him, Yesterday, at the 7th hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said to him, Your son lives, and he believed, he and his whole household. Hallelujah. It healed an unnamed condition in John 5:8. John 5:8. Jesus said to him, Rise, take your bed and walk. And immediately the man was made well. Underline that. The man was made well, took up his bed and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. Now this condition had persisted for 38 years, so it was long term. It healed a man born with congenital blindness. John 9:1. John 9:1. It says, Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. Underline that. Blind from birth. Verses 6-7 of that same chapter. When he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. And he went and washed and came back seeing. Underline that. Came back seeing. So God's power can heal diseases you were born with. Do you see that? Okay, some will say, that's the way I was born. Okay, God's power can heal it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now this continues into the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, God's power heals lameness. Acts 3:6-8. Then Peter said, Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Underline that. So he leaping up, stood up and walked. Underline that. And entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. In Acts 5, it heals several diseases at once. Acts 5:14. It says, And believers were increasingly added to the Lord. Multitudes of both men and women, So they brought the sick, on the lives of the sick, out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Also, a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people, underline that, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed, underline that, they were all healed. Okay, so we find mass healings here. It heals paralysis. Acts 9:32. Now it came to pass, as Peter went through all the parts of the country, that he also came down to the saints who dwelt in Lydda. There he found a certain man named Aeneas, who had been bedridden 8 years, underline that, bedridden 8 years, and was paralyzed, underline that, was paralyzed. And Peter said to him, Aeneas, Jesus the Christ heals you. Arise and make your bed. Then he arose immediately, underline that, then he arose immediately, and all who dwelt at Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. It healed congenital lameness, lameness from the womb. Acts chapter 14 verse 8. Acts 14 verse 8. And in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb. Underline that. A cripple from his mother's womb. So congenital, okay? Who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand up straight on your feet. And he lived and walked. Underline that. He lived and walked. It healed various diseases in Acts chapter 19. Verses 11 to 12. Then God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, underline that, and the evil spirits went out of them. It heals fever and dysentery. Acts 28 verse 8. Acts 28 verse 8. And it happened that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and dysentery. Paul went into him and prayed, and he laid his hands on him and healed him. It heals various diseases at Malta. Acts 28 verse 9. Acts 28 verse 9. So when this was done, the rest of those on the island who had diseases also came and were healed. Now in the epistles, it saved Trophimus from death. God's power. Philippians 2 verse 27. Are you following this so far? Alright, thank you. Philippians 2 verse 27. It says, for indeed he was sick almost unto death, but God had mercy on him. Underline that. God had mercy on him. And not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow on sorrow. So we find that God's power isn't limited. Have you seen that so far? When it comes to blessing his people, performing miracles, saving them, granting them healing, there is nothing his power cannot do in helping his people. Okay, multi-purpose, hallelujah. See, God's power is multi-purpose, hallelujah. Okay, now, is there something that God's power cannot do? Amen, I want to find out now. Okay, so, subheading here, what God's power doesn't do? Are you following this? What God's power doesn't do? Now, we've said that God's power is capable of doing several things at once. Now, one of those things do not include sickness. Amen. God's power does not inflict with disease. Hallelujah. Okay, when we say God's power is multi-purpose, that isn't one of its purpose. Do you follow that? It doesn't make people sick. One thing God's power would never do is oppose itself. God's power can be healing sickness, curing disease, and giving sickness at the same time. Okay, it is not in God's power to do both good and evil. Are you following this? Okay, thank you. Now, what about Bible texts that say otherwise? And I'm glad you brought this up. Amen. Now, let's see a few of them. Genesis chapter 12 talks about God plaguing the house of Pharaoh. Please turn your Bible there quickly. Run through now. Genesis 12 verse 17. It says, but the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues. Underline that, from the to plagues, because of Sarai, Abraham's wife. The word plague literally means to strike with a blow in the Hebrew. To strike with a blow. Okay, to inflict pain upon. Naga in the Hebrew, it's a violent word. Exodus chapter 4, interestingly, describes God as the cause of disabilities. Exodus 4 verse 11, it says, "So the Lord said to him, Who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute?" Underline that. Who makes the mute? Do you see that? "The deaf, the seeing, or the blind, have not I the Lord?" Underline that. Have not I? In Leviticus, sickness is described as God's punishment on sins. Leviticus 26:15-16. It says, "And if you despise my statutes, or if your soul abhors my judgment, so that you do not perform all my commandments, but break my covenant, I also will do this to you. I will even appoint terror over you," underline that, "wasting disease and fever." You see that? Underline that, "wasting disease and fever, which shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart. And you shall sow in vain, for your enemies shall eat it." Verse 21 says, of that same chapter, verse 21, "Then if you walk contrary to me and are not willing to obey me, I will bring on you 7 times more plagues according to your sins." God is talking here. Do you see that? He says, "I will bring," underline that, okay, "on you 7 times more plagues according to your sins." Similarly, Deuteronomy 28 pronounces curses on disobedience. Verse 15 of that same chapter, "But it shall come to pass if you do not obey," underline that, "if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully," underline that, "to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you," underline that, "all these curses will come upon you and overtake you." Now verses 21 to 22 include sickness as part of the curse. Verse 21 says, "The Lord will make," underline that, active, "the Lord will make the plague cling to you." Do you see that? "Until he has consumed you," underline that, "until he has consumed you from the land which you are going to possess." The Lord will strike, underline that, the Lord will strike you with consumption. Now that's tuberculosis, with fever, with inflammation, with severe burning fever, with the sword, with scorching, and with mildew. "They shall pursue you until you perish." Verse 35 says, "The Lord will strike you," underline that, "the Lord will strike you in the knees," do you see that, "and on the legs with severe boils which cannot be healed, and from the sole of your foot to the top of your head." Verses 58 to 61 of that same chapter, "If you do not carefully observe all the words of this law that are written in this book, that you may fear this glorious and awesome name, the Lord your God, then the Lord will bring upon you," underline that, "the Lord will bring upon you and your descendants extraordinary plagues," underline that, extraordinary plagues, those are diseases, great and prolonged plagues, underline that, okay, and serious and prolonged sicknesses. "Moreover, it will bring back on you," underline that, "it will bring back on you all the diseases of Egypt, of which we are afraid, and they shall cling to you. Also, every sickness and every plague which is not written in this book of the law," very serious, "will the Lord bring upon you," underline that, "will the Lord bring upon you until you are destroyed." In Deuteronomy 32 verse 39, God himself says, "Now see that I, even I am he, and there is no God beside me. I kill." Interesting. God is talking here, underline that, "I kill and I make alive," underline that, "I make alive, I wound," underline that, "and I heal. Now is there any who can deliver from my hand?" I wrote here, very strange, right? Very strange. The Psalms also echo these same thoughts. Psalm 38, for example, seems to imply that the psalmist's sickness was caused by God. Verses 105 of that same chapter, Psalm 38. Let's see that quickly. 105. Are you there? Okay. "O Lord, do not rebuke me in your wrath, nor chasten me in your heart displeasure. For your arrows pierce me deeply," underline that, "your arrows pierce me deeply, and your hand presses me down," underline that, "your hand presses me down. There is no soundness in my flesh because of your anger," underline that. Okay, "nor any health in my bones," underline that, "nor any health in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities have gone over my head like a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. My wounds are foul and festering," underline that, "my wounds are foul and festering because of my foolishness." Psalm 78 describes Israel's ordeal in the wilderness and attributes most of them to God. Verses 21 to 22 say, "Therefore the Lord heard and was furious, underline that, and was furious, and a fire was kindled against Jacob, underline that, a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel, underline that, because they did not believe in God and did not trust in his salvation. Verses 32 to 34 say, of that same chapter, in spite of this, they still sinned and did not believe in his wondrous works. Therefore, their days he consumed in futility, underline that, from there to futility, and their years in fear. When he slew them, underline that, he slew them, then they sought him, and they returned and sought earnestly for God. Verses 49 to 51 describe the plagues of Egypt. It says, he cast on them the fierceness of his anger, wrath, indignation, and trouble by sending angels of destruction among them. Underline that, okay? He made a path for his anger. He did not spare their soul from death, underline that, but gave their life over to the plague. Do you see that? And destroyed all the firstborn in Egypt, underline, gave their life over to the plague, underline, from destroyed to Egypt, the first of their strength in the tents of Am. In Psalm 88, the psalmist points to God as the cause of his affliction. Verses 6 to 9 of that same chapter, Psalm 88, it says, you have laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness, in the depths. Your wrath lies heavy upon me, and you have afflicted me. Underline that, you have afflicted me with all your waves, Selah. You've put away my acquaintances far from me. You've made me an abomination to them. I am shut up and I cannot get out. My eyes waste away because of affliction. Underline that. Lord, I've called daily upon you. I have stretched out my hands to you. Verses 13 to 18 say, of that same chapter, but to you I have cried out, O Lord, and in the morning my prayer comes before you. Lord, why do you cast off my soul? Why do you hide your face from me? I have been afflicted, underline that, I have been afflicted and ready to die, underline that, ready to die from my youth. I suffer your terrors, underline that, I suffer your terrors. I am distraught. Your fierce wrath has gone over me. Your terrors have cut me off, underline that, your terrors have cut me off. They came around me all day long like water. They engulfed me altogether. Loved ones and friends you've put far from me, underline that, you've put far from me, and my acquaintances into darkness. In Psalm 102, the psalmist talks about God weakening him. Verses 23 to 24 of that same chapter, it says, he weakened my strength, underline that, he weakened my strength in the way, he shortened my days, underline that, he shortened my days. I said, oh my God, do not take me away, underline that, do not take me away in the midst of my days. Your years are throughout all generations. Psalm 106 talks about God inflicting the Jews in the wilderness. Verses 13 to 15 of that same chapter, Psalm 106. They soon forgot his works. They did not wait for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tested God in the desert. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. Underline that. Sent leanness into their soul. Verse 23 says God tried to destroy Israel. Verse 23, therefore he said he would destroy them. Very strange. Underline that. He would destroy them. Had not Moses, his chosen one, stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he destroy them. Underline that. Lest he destroy them. Verse 29 talks about a plague. It says, thus they provoked him to anger with their deeds, and the plague broke out among them. Underline that, the plague broke out among them. So the Psalms appear to hold God responsible for the plagues the Jewish people suffered in the wilderness journey. Now follow closely. Amos chapter 3 says God causes calamity. Verse 6 of that same chapter, Amos 3. It says, if a trumpet is blown in a city, will not the people be afraid? If there is calamity in a city, will not the Lord have done it? Underline that. Will not the Lord have done it? Isaiah 19 says God strikes and heals at the same time. Verse 22, Isaiah 19, it says, and the Lord will strike Egypt. Underline that. The Lord will strike Egypt. He will strike and heal it. Underline and heal it. They will return to the Lord, and it will be entreated by them and heal them. In Isaiah 45, very strangely, God himself brags about doing both good and evil. Verse 7 of that same chapter, Isaiah 45, God speaking here, it says, I formed the light and create darkness. How about that? on the land create darkness. I make peace and create calamity. Underline that. Create calamity. I, the Lord, do all these things. Underline that. Do all these things. Jeremiah 14 speaks of God striking Israel. Verse 19 of that same chapter, Jeremiah 14. It says, have you utterly rejected Judah as your soul loaded Zion? Why have you stricken us so much so that there is no healing for us? Underline that. From why to us? We looked for peace, but there was no good, and for the time of healing, and there was trouble. Hosea 6 speaks of God tearing and healing his people all at once. Verse 1 of that same chapter, Hosea 6, come, and let us return to the Lord, for he has thorn. Underline that, he has thorn, but he will heal us. Underline that, he will heal us. He has stricken, underline that, he has stricken, but he will bind us up. Underline that, he will bind us up. Now, from this text and many others found in the Bible, God appears to be both the healer as well as the cause of disease. Do you see that so far? Now, how can we resolve this? Okay, this seems to be a problem. How can we resolve this? Simple, by understanding Jewish figures of speech and idioms. Do you follow that? Jewish figures of speech and idioms. Now, the Bible was written majorly by Jewish people, and like any writer, they use idiomatic expressions which their readers would readily understand. Now, an idiomatic expression is a manner of speaking, a mode of communication peculiar to a particular language or people. Now, I would define idiom as inside talk, okay, Tiwa language. Do you follow that? Do you have inside jokes in your family, right? Things that outsiders won't readily get when they come around, right? Now, that's an idiom. Statements which only certain people can get because they form them and use them. So, an outsider might not understand an idiom because it's not part of the community that formed it. Now, for instance, the English say, bite the dust. Okay, bite the dust. Now, they don't mean you literally eat sand particles. To bite the dust means to fail. Now, that's an idiomatic expression. Do you follow that? Another English idiom is to beat around the bush. Now, this doesn't mean to literally take a stick and hit bushes, right? It means not to talk directly about a particular issue. The English also say, don't cry over spilled milk. Now, this doesn't mean milk actually got spilled on the floor. It simply means don't bother about what cannot be fixed. So you can say it another way, what is done is done. Okay, don't cry over spilled milk. Another idiom is to pull wool over someone's eyes. Now, this simply means to deceive. It doesn't mean you literally take wool and put it over someone's eyes. You see that even amongst the Yorubas, you have various idioms. The Yorubas will say, Ekojometa, right? Which roughly translates to, it's been 3 days. Now, this doesn't mean you haven't seen the person being addressed for 3 days, right? It simply means it's been a while. Do you follow that? So, different people, tribes, and nations have idioms which they develop to communicate with one another. Is that understood so far? Okay, now the Jewish people are no different. The Jews have figures of speech, idiomatic expressions. Okay, just like Ekojometa, do you follow that? They have theirs. Now, the Jews would say a thorn in the flesh, for example, to refer to someone who irritates. You may see Numbers 33 verse 55. Doesn't mean that the thorn is literally in the flesh. Okay? The Jews would call those who were stubborn stiff-necked. Okay? Like an ox which refuses to be yoked. So that is borrowed from agriculture. You find that even God sometimes used Jewish idioms when communicating to the Jewish people. He used words and figures they understood to communicate his message to them. See Exodus 32 verse 9. Please turn your Bible there. I'll wait for you quickly. As we begin to close, are you following this so far? Okay, thank you. Exodus 32 verse 9. It says, and the Lord said to Moses, so God is speaking here, I have seen this people, and indeed it is a stiff-necked people. Underline that. It is a stiff-necked people. God uses a Jewish idiom here. Do you see that? Okay, God is speaking. So the Bible recognizes the use of figures and idioms. God honors man's language. Say, God honors man's language. Okay, man's mode of communication. Now, since we know that the Bible employed Jewish idioms, we can't just read everything we find in the Bible literally. Okay, that would be like taking bite the dust literally. Okay, when reading English literature. Do you follow that? So you can't take everything you find in the Bible literally. You must find out what Jewish idioms mean. Now, there is another Jewish idiom known as the permissive voice. Now, the Hebrew language didn't differentiate between the causative and the permissive voice. Now, what that means is that what someone did and what he permitted to be done were said to be done by him. Do you follow that? They were not distinguished in the Hebrew language. For example, if a thief stole from a house and the security did nothing to stop the thief, the Jews would transfer that liability to the security personnel. So the Jew would say, the security stole. Do you follow that? That is how they spoke. Now for God, when he permitted evil, the Jew would say, God did evil. Can I say, if you follow that? It's an idiomatic expression. But actually, he did not do anything. Okay? He just didn't stop it. Can I say, if you follow that? Okay, so if it wants to take place, God doesn't do anything about it, the Jew will say God did it. Why? Because he permitted it to be done because he did not stop it. Now, why didn't he stop it? Because men rejected his help. Do you follow that? When men refuse God's help and continue in sin, they tie God's hands together, making it impossible for him to help. Look at how Psalm 78 says this. Please turn your Bible there. This is very key. Psalm 78 verse 41. Look at how this is said there. Verse 41. It says, yes, again and again they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Underline that. Limited the Holy One of Israel. This is what Israel in unbelief did to God. It says they limited the Holy One of Israel. The word limited literally means to put boundaries around. It's like saying you go no further. Tava in the Hebrew. T-A-V-A-H. So they limited what he could do to save them because they rejected him. Do you see that? Okay, God will never force his salvation upon any man. Now, when men reject his saving power, God stands by, watching men get destroyed by his own actions. He can't help even though he wants to. But you know what the Jew will say? The Jew will say, the Lord did it. Do you get it now? An idiom. So, everywhere the Bible implies that God inflicted with sicknesses, you must read that in the permissive voice. Is that understood? He didn't do evil. He permitted evil to be done. How? By the absence of his power. Do you follow that now? Okay, so he couldn't do anything to save because man rejected his help. Is that clear? Okay, thank you very much. Now, the New Testament clearly shows us the real culprit behind sickness, and it's not God. Okay, the true culprit behind sickness is not God. The New Testament gives various instances in which the forces of darkness were responsible for sickness, not God. Luke chapter 13 talks about the spirit of infirmity. Verse 11 of that same chapter, as we begin to close gradually. Luke 13 verse 11. It says, and behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity, literally a spirit that makes one weak in the Greek, a disabling spirit, pneuma asthenias in the Greek, 18 years, and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. In Mark 9, demons caused deafness and dumbness. Verse 25 of that same chapter, Mark 9, it says, when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, underline that, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. Luke chapter 8 links sickness with evil spirits. Verse 2 of that same chapter. Luke 8 verse 2. It says, and certain women who have been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, underline that, healed of evil spirits and infirmities. You see that is grouped together. Mary called Magdalene, out of whom had come out seven demons. Underline that, from outer demons. Now the healing came once the evil spirits were driven away, so they were the cause. Luke 6, earlier group diseases with demonic activity. Verse 17 of that same chapter, Luke 6. It says, and he came down with them and stood on a level place with a crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to him and be healed of their diseases. Underline that, be healed of their diseases, as well as those who were tormented with unclean spirits. Underline that, were tormented with unclean spirits, and they were healed. Underline that, they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for power went out of him and healed them all. You see that again? Okay, so the New Testament oftentimes would link sickness with the power of darkness. Now, this doesn't mean that every sickness is caused by the devil. Is that understood? Man also has a mortal body, which is subject to death and susceptible to sickness. But most times, sicknesses find their source in the power of darkness. Acts chapter 10 says similarly as we close. Acts 10 verse 38. It says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all. Underline that, healing all, who were oppressed by God. Huh? Right? Oppressed by God's power. Huh? Oppressed by the devil. Underline that. Oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Sickness is an oppression which the devil causes, not God. What God does is to heal. Hallelujah. It says in Exodus chapter 15 verse 26, I am the Lord who heals you. Hallelujah. So is Jehovah Rapha, the physician God, literally in the Hebrew. Hallelujah. Say, God is my physician. Say, God is my physician. Say, I serve the physician God, Jehovah Rapha. Hallelujah. He mends my body with his power. Say, God mends my body with his power. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So in conclusion, we see what God's power can do and what it cannot do. Have you seen that now? God's power cannot make one sick. Is that understood now? But God's power heals all kinds of diseases. Hallelujah. Ranging from very serious diseases. We saw that, right? Leprosy, blindness, to mild ones such as fever. Amen. Headache. Okay, that's God's power. Hallelujah. The same power that is curing leprosy is also curing fever. The same power. Hallelujah. The same power curing barrenness is curing an headache. Hallelujah. It's the cure for all ills. Praise the Lord. So let's say this together. I have the cure for all ills. Say, I have the cure for all ills. Say, sickness, you have no place in my body. Say, disease, you can't stay in my body. Say, God's power is working in my body, in my cells, in my tissues, in my organs, effecting a healing and a cure. So the power of God insulates me from all viruses, me and mine. So they don't come near me. Say, I have the cure to all ills. Say, I have, come on, the cure to all ills. Say, I can also minister the same to others. Say, by my hands, the sick are healed, the lame walk, the paralyzed leap for joy. Say, I'm a dispenser of the cure for all ills. Say, and all the days of my life, I walk in divine healing, ministering the same to others. Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord Jesus. Did you learn? Lift your hands, give him praise. We have the cure to all ills. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. The power of God.